Our reading for Friday, May 15th, begins in Acts 21, verse 1. Acts chapter 21, verse 1. And when he had parted from them and set sail, we came by a straight course to Kos, and the next day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And having found a ship crossing to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. When we had come in sight of Cyprus, leaving it on the left, we sailed to Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unload its cargo. And having sought out the disciples, we stayed there for 7 days, and through the Spirit they were telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem. When our days there were ended, we departed and went on our journey, and they all, with wives and children, accompanied us until we were outside the city, and kneeling down on the beach, we prayed and said farewell to one another. Then we went on board the ship, and they returned home. When we had finished the voyage from Tyre, we arrived at Ptolemais, and we greeted the brothers and stayed with them for 1 day. On the next day we departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered the house of Philip the Evangelist, who was one of the 7, and stayed with him. He had 4 unmarried daughters who prophesied. While we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea, and coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." When we heard this, we and the people there urged him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And since he would not be persuaded, we ceased and said, "Let the will of the Lord be done." After these days we got ready and went to Jerusalem. And some of the disciples from Caesarea went with us, bringing us to the house of Mnason of Cyprus, an early disciple with whom we should lodge. When we had come to Jerusalem, the brothers received us gladly. On the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. After greeting them, he related one by one the things that God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified God, and they said to him, "You see, brother, how many thousands there are among the Jews of those who have believed. They are all zealous for the law, and they have been told about you that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or walk according to our customs. What then is to be done? They will certainly hear that you have come. Do therefore what we tell you. We have 4 men who are under a vow. Take these men and purify yourself along with them and pay their expenses, so that they may shave their heads. Thus all will know that there is nothing in what they have been told about you, but that you yourself also live in observance of the law. But as for the Gentiles who have believed, we have sent a letter with our judgment that they should abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what has been strangled, and from sexual immorality." Then Paul took the men, and the next day he purified himself along with them, and went into the temple, giving notice when the days of purification would be fulfilled, and the offering presented for each one of them. When the 7 days were almost completed, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who is teaching everyone everywhere against the people and the law and this place. Moreover, he even brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place." For they had previously seen Trophimus the Ephesian with him in the city, and they supposed that Paul had brought him into the temple. Then all the city was stirred up, and the people ran together. They seized Paul and dragged him out of the temple, and at once the gates were shut. And as they were seeking to kill him, word came to the tribune of the cohort that all Jerusalem was in confusion. He at once took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the tribune and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Then the tribune came up and arrested him and ordered him to be bound with 2 chains. He inquired who he was and what he had done. Some in the crowd were shouting one thing, some another. And as he could not learn the facts because of the uproar, he ordered him to be brought into the barracks. And when he came to the steps, he was actually carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the crowd. For the mob of the people followed, crying out, "Away with him." As Paul was about to be brought into the barracks, he said to the tribune, "May I say something to you?" And he said, "Do you know Greek? Are you not the Egyptian then who recently stirred up a revolt and led the 4,000 men of the assassins out into the wilderness?" Paul replied, "I am a Jew, from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no obscure city. I beg you permit me to speak to the people." And when he had given permission, Paul, standing on the steps, motioned with his hand to the people. And when there was a great hush, he addressed them in the Hebrew language. We're going to stop there for the sake of brevity. I realize we're stopping sort of in the middle of the context, but there's quite a bit more that happens in this particular account, so we'll stop there and address the rest of it for Monday's reading. So we had left off in chapter 20. He had addressed the Ephesian elders, given them some warnings. They had tearfully said their goodbyes. Verse 21 gives us insight to the fact that there were others that understood that Paul was going to undergo great persecution arriving in Jerusalem. Some of them tried to persuade him not to go. Then Agabus stands up and gives, I guess you'd say, an official prophecy, if we could term it that way, and shows that Paul was going to be bound and arrested in Jerusalem. And so again, they ask him not to go, but he has made his decision to go. I want to make a couple of comments. First is, it's unclear to me when it says that through the Spirit they were telling Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. It's unclear to me whether it is saying that the Spirit inspired them to tell him not to go, or whether the Spirit had simply revealed what would happen if he did. I tend to go with the latter. However, I will add this. This is a good account to show that inspiration of the Spirit does not override one's will. Paul is not persuaded to not go to Jerusalem, however you would interpret that particular verse. So he does decide he is going to continue to go, and so they accepted that. They stopped trying to persuade him not to go. Now when he gets there, he goes to James and the elders of the church that are there, begins to relate all the things that had been done among the Gentiles through his ministry. They're joyous over this. They praise God over all of these things. And then they give him a bit of a warning. They know that with Paul arriving in Jerusalem, some controversy is going to come about. Now, I'm going to insert to you another thought here. I want you to realize that they counsel Paul about engaging in this vow with these other men. They are not telling him he has to keep the old law. They are not telling him that he has to make sacrifices that are outside the law of Christ. However, Paul does have the liberty to accept some of the Jewish customs without going back to the old law, and that's what he does. He accepts some of the customs about these vows, and he does so as an appeasement. Now, we've already read that there have been instances in which demands were made of Paul for the old law to be kept, for example, circumcision, and he did not accept those demands. However, there are also occasions such as this, as well as with Timothy, that he accepts certain things of the old law as tradition and under liberty. So Timothy was circumcised. Here he accepts this particular vow. So he does accept this vow, but it does not make any appeasement, because as soon as they are seeing that he's there, they stir up everything. And they make an accusation against him that is not correct. It's a false accusation. They made an assumption that because this Greek had been seen with him in the marketplace, that he brought him to the temple. There was no founding in that, but it's used as an excuse to make accusation against him. Now, here in Jerusalem, it's a little bit different than in other cases. The Roman government is very quick to intervene in this particular instance. There's a couple of reasons for that. First, as he asks Paul, if you go down to verse 38, he says, "Are you not the Egyptian who stirred up a revolt and led 4,000 men of the assassins out into the wilderness?" So I think what's going on here is this is the beginning of the rebellion of the Jews against the Roman government that eventually ends with the destruction of Jerusalem by the prophecy and the providence of God. So he's already seen a little bit of this revolt come up, and so they're being very cautious. They don't want Jerusalem to erupt in there. So there's a lot of Jews in Jerusalem. So as soon as they find out that this mob is forming, they run down there to handle it. Now, as far as I know, he doesn't know anything about Paul in regards to him being a Roman citizen, especially when you put verse 38 with it. He's basically saying, are you not the Egyptian? So are you not this person that's from Egypt that raised this revolt? So he doesn't know anything about Paul. So I don't think that he's running down there to defend him because Paul's a Roman citizen. I think it's a matter of quelling any revolt before it gets out of hand. That would reflect poorly upon him, and that would mean that the city itself would have to then come under siege by the Roman army, which at this point, the Romans are not looking at that particular avenue. So he goes down there and grabs Paul, and even with them coming down with these soldiers and arresting Paul and trying to take him away, the mob is following. It says he came to the steps, verse 35, he was carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the crowd, for the mob of the people followed. So even though he is coming down to try to quell this and get Paul out of the situation and hopefully get this crowd to calm down, at this point they're not calming down. And we're going to get into chapter 22, and he allows Paul to make a defense, and he goes through the things that he has done. So we'll get into that in Monday's reading. This is another important chapter that Luke reveals for us, because we begin to see that run up to the destruction of Jerusalem. We begin to see that even though Paul is an innocent man, he's not doing the things they accuse him of, that the same thing they did with Jesus still continues, that they feel like violence is the only way to stop the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're not heeding those words that we read before, that if this is truly from God, there's nothing they can do to stop it, and all of this would be in vain. And if you do oppose God, you're putting yourself in a case of where they're going to be judged for it. But that's not what they're thinking of. They're just thinking in terms of opposing the gospel and opposing especially Paul himself. He had been one of them. He had been zealous for going out and persecuting Christians, and then suddenly he becomes a Christian. And I believe that's why they focus so much on Paul, in addition to the fact that he was so active in his missionary work. So thank you for listening today. We'll continue in chapter 22 for Monday's reading. And please continue in prayer that we might all be safe from the virus. Please be in prayer about us beginning to meet again with our split services on Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If you are in the high-risk category and do not want to get out, we certainly understand that. We will be putting the lessons online so that you can listen to those. So check back on our website Sunday afternoon. We should have those ready, or at the latest Monday afternoon. So please be in prayer that God may be with us all. Thank you.